Our focus throughout the week will be upon the preaching of the Word, and we're delighted again this evening to be able to welcome the Reverend David Priestley to the pulpit, and we trust that the Lord will bless him now as he comes to open up the Scriptures to us.
Thank you, Mr. Kenny, for leading the meeting and for your kind words of welcome again. And let me say to you and the congregation that it is a great joy to see you with us on this Monday evening of this special series of meetings. And to see you with us is such an encouragement in this meeting. And do keep in mind the nights of the week, now into the second one, and how quickly the whole week will flee from us. And so we want you to make up your mind that you will definitely be with us night by night. It is so important that we see you along, and we trust that you will purpose to be here, and if you possibly can, come early and let us together look to the Lord before every meeting commences. So we're going to read tonight in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we are breaking into the chapter at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen, and we know that the Lord will bless to each of our hearts the public reading of his word. We will unite together in prayer for a moment, looking to the Lord that we will especially know wisdom and power from on high. Our loving eternal Father, how we praise Thee tonight for Thy Word. We do praise Thee too for the natural seed and for the germination of it and the bringing forth of the harvest. And Lord, we know that Thy Word is the incorruptible seed, and it too works mightily in our hearts who hear it. Lord, we praise Thee for the spiritual fruit that comes from the hearing of the Word of God. Thy Word gives to us understanding. It gives to us an unveiling, a revelation of Thy will and purpose for our lives in every dimension and in every area of them. We remember how David could say that Thy testimonies were the men of His counsel. And Lord, we turn to Thee amid the confusion, the mayhem, the disorganization that we see in society. Lord, we turn to Thee that Thou mightst direct our ways. O Lord, guide our footsteps then, and our relationships in our homes by Thy precious Word. So help us then this night. We stand in need of Thee. We are conscious, Lord, that Thou hast promised to be with us all the days. And we pray in this time in the Scriptures that we'll know Thee at our right hand, our helper, our wisdom, our strength, our all in all. Have the preeminence, Lord, we pray, and cause us all to hear Thy voice. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, we are dealing in this special series of meetings with family matters, focusing our minds on what the Bible has to say on that oldest of all institutions, the family. Today, the family is attacked on all sides, religious, political, cultural. The family is being eroded in society. Hence the turmoil, the lawlessness, the wickedness, the mayhem that we see all around us. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Lord emphasizes the importance for the Christian of being filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 18. We are not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. The believer, the child of God, is to be daily filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is to be in evidence in our daily living. Indeed, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, to the churches in Galatia, this word was given to them. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit will impact on the family. We will live in keeping with the Word of God. Instruction for the family in this portion of Scripture, it begins with the role of the wife in verse 22. And I believe that that is significant. The wife being in the first place, it stresses, it emphasizes the importance of her role in the family. The wife's role is to the fore. It's prominent. in the mind of God. Husbands may foolishly play down the role of the wife, but God places a dignity, an honor on it in mentioning her first. That man is a fool who does not recognize the primary place that his wife has in the family. The wife, the mother, is the keystone in the family arch. She's the homemaker. She is at the very center of everything in that particular home. In looking at the role of the wife, we see clearly that it is one of submission. Much has been said about the wife's submission to her husband by way of banter and fun. On the other hand, this role of the wife has been violated. It has been abused. It has been distorted. So on all counts, it's important that we get a sound grasp of what the Scriptures teach on the wife's role in the family, particularly in relation to her husband, in submission to her husband. So we're going to look at four things tonight. First of all, the prudence of submission. Notice with me verses 22 and 4. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We have the word submit here. In verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Two words, submit and subject. They are the same in the original. What is in view in these words is a military term of rank, of position within the army. A soldier is in subjection to his commanding officer, who is in turn in subjection to those in higher rank to himself. The moment a man joins the armed forces, he is subjecting himself. He is saying, I will obey the command that comes down to me. No matter what he may think of it, it's his business to be in subjection. The regiment would be in chaos if each man had the right to decide what is going to be done next. The regiment would have no capacity to fight the army. There would be no victory gained. All would be in a shambles if there was not due order. The first thing a competing football team does is to appoint a captain. Oh, he may not be the most talented man on the pitch, but the manager reckons that he has the ability to lead, so he gets the armband and the rest of the team submit themselves to him. Without the captain, chaos would reign in the ranks of that football team. You see, someone has to have authority. And the Word of God teaches that God has set man, appointed the husband as the head of the home. In the home, there are ranks, there are roles, there are positions for husbands, wives, and children. In every society, there must be order. Absence of it results in division, confusion. Didn't the Lord Jesus say that a house divided against itself cannot stand? And husbands and wives, they have clearly defined roles. And the role of the wife is to be in subjection. The all-wise God has given to the wife, the mother of the home, her role to be in submission to her husband. It's part of the divine discipline for the family. This is God's order, and it is to be observed, the prudence of submission. Oh, the wisdom in it. But then let us take another step and think about the pattern of submission. And where can we see a pattern of this kind of submission? We can see a pattern of it, men and women, in creation. There is emphasis placed on the fact that man was created first. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 11 to 13. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 8 and 9, similar words. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. The woman in creation was in a subordinate role, dependent on man. Man was not only created first, he was also given authority. It was Adam who had the authority to give names to the animals, emphasizing that he was in a position of leadership. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, after the fall, the role of the woman is clearly defined. Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 16. Unto the woman he said, that is the Lord said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. The role of the woman in the beginning is defined in these words. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. It was Eve's failure to recognize her God-given role that brought about the fall of man. Facing the devil's temptation to eat the forbidden fruit, Eve failed to consult Adam. She dealt with the situation. She took the leadership role and plunged the whole world into sin. Notice the words in Genesis 3 and verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, and she speaks not only for herself, but she takes it upon herself to speak for Adam. She says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Eve took the leadership role here, and as I have said, brought sin into the world. We see the pattern of submission. The pattern of it is seen in creation. in the texts that we have mentioned. The pattern of it is seen in the church in Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 24. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Oh, beyond question, the church made up of God's own people, it is in submission. It is to be in submission to the Lord. There is to be that constant yielding of our lives to the Lord. There in Romans chapter 6 and the verses 12 and 13. Romans 6 verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that we should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. By His wonderful grace, God in His grace has brought us from the place of spiritual death. We are alive, spiritually living. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And this is the way of this new creation, the child of God, yielding oneself unto the Lord. We're not to yield to sin, but to the Savior. We know that Jabez prayed to be kept from the evil. He prayed, keep me from the evil, that it may not grieve me. There's to be that constant yielding of our lives in submission to the great King and only head of the church. And this is a pattern for the wife in her role of submission. As there is that ready, wholehearted yielding to Christ as the head, so there is to be ready submission, the ready submission of the wife to her husband. We see a pattern of it in the conformity of the body to the head. Ephesians 5 verse 23, the head and the body are mentioned, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body and the head. Oh, the body will not act independently of the head. And this is a picture of how the wife is to be in submission to her husband. In the physical frame, the head is in control. The body will submit, act in accordance with the head. The body cannot live without the head, and vice versa. If my body begins to act contrary to my head, independent of my mind and will, I am suffering from some sort of convulsion, resulting in chaos. The body and the head, when all is functioning properly, there is a completeness about it. There is a wholeness about it. And so husband and wives, they are not separate identities pulling the one against the other. They are to be in perfect union, in perfect harmony, as the various parts of the body work in unison with the head. So we have the prudence in submission. We have the pattern in submission. Let us come thirdly to the practicalities of this submission. What does it really mean for the wife to be in submission to her husband? What are the practicalities of it? Notice in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, this does not mean that wives are to submit themselves to their husbands in the same way as they submit themselves to the Lord. The submission of every Christian to the Lord is to be entire, it is to be full and complete. The Son of God, He is the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one whose right it is to reign over all our being. We read about the Apostle Paul as he introduces his New Testament letters. And very often he introduces them in this way: Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And the word means bond slave. Paul was recognizing that he was not his own, that he had been bought with a price, even with the precious blood of the Lamb, the price of love untold. And when Saul of Tarsus became a Christian on the Damascus Road, what was the first thing that he did? In Acts 9 and verse 6, he acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He prayed, "Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And every Christian is a bond slave of Jesus Christ. The Christian's relationship to the Lord is one of complete, entire, absolute submission. In John chapter 2 and verse 5, at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, Mary said to the servants, when the wine ran out, she instructed them, speaking of Christ, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. We are bond slaves of Jesus Christ. But I want to point out in this meeting tonight that the wife is not the slave of her husband. Brother, she is not your slave. She is not to be ordered around, dictated to, and tramped on, treated harshly without love and affection. This submission to your husband, it is an expression of your submission to the Lord. It's part of it. And you as a wife are fulfilling this role in the family willingly because you know it's God's purpose for you. It's part of your discipleship and you do it willingly to the Lord's glory. In any family, there are situations that need to be resolved. There are decisions that need to be made. And there needs to be discussion, a to-ing and fro-ing by the husband and the wife so that the way on any particular issue, the way ahead, may be determined. And we have a lovely illustration of such a situation in the home of the Shunammite and her husband in 2 Kings 4. And let's take time to turn it up. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And that's a tremendous statement. We're reading in this passage tonight about a great woman. And I believe that she was great in earthly substance, in wealth, in wherewithal. But she was a great woman in a more marvelous way than that. She was a spiritual woman. She was a woman who was given to hospitality. And so we find that Elisha passed often where she resided. And the verse 8 says, she constrained him to eat bread. The margin says she laid hold on him. Elisha was not going to jump into her situation and take advantage of her kindness. There was a hesitancy, but she persuaded him to come in and savor of her hospitality. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread, and she said unto her husband, here's the discussion, and see how she takes the initiative. She's the driving force in all of this. She said, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. You see, she was burdened about Elisha journeying to and fro in searing heat. And this great woman, she is so anxious to provide hospitality for the man of God. The Shunammite, she did not assume her husband's role. She did not take the decision to make the necessary renovations, to call up the builder and buy the bed and the table and the stool and the candlestick. And then when she had all of that accomplished, go and tell her husband. No, as the wife, she was in subjection and she sought his consent. There was this discussion and she recognized her husband's headship in the home. They both talked it over and they both came to a mutual agreement saying, Let us do it. The Shunammite knew her position under God. She did not seek to usurp her husband's place. And on the other hand, the woman is not to be overlooked by the man. The husband is not to lord it over his wife. We have another example in Genesis chapter 21. And verses 9 and 10. And the scene here is a sad one in Abraham's home. We are being brought right into his home. And because of a failure in his faith, Ishmael has been born of Abraham to the bondwoman. And that spells trouble in the family. The verse 9, Genesis 21, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Ishmael is mocking Isaac. Oh, he's being abusive to Isaac. He's making life difficult for him. Isaac is 14 years younger than Ishmael, and he's on the receiving end, and Sarah, understandably, is not a bit amused. Verse 10, wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And verse 12, God said unto Abraham,
Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. Abraham, take note, pay attention to what Sarah's saying. He wasn't to be deaf to what his wife was saying. Sometimes when I'm engrossed in my preparation for my sermon and lunchtime comes and I'm still turning it all over in my mind and we're at the table and my wife's saying something to me, it doesn't really register, but she has a way of getting her point across and making her husband listen. We need not to lord it over our wives. And note the limitation in the wife's submission in verse 22. It's unto your own husband. You're not to be in submission to every man, but only to the one who chose you out of all the others to be, as we saw last night, his helpmeet. And the verse 24 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says this, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Do I see faces dropping in this meeting? But is this a blanket statement? Compare Scripture with Scripture. In Romans chapter 13, we read about the civil authority. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. The powers that be. Government. The word subject is occurring here again. We are to be subject to the powers that be insofar as the powers that be are in subjection to God. And when the choice is, do I obey God or men, the decision is clear cut for the believer. It is obvious. Peter and the other apostles in Acts 5 and verse 29, they said we ought to obey God rather than men. And I think we're going to face situations in this province akin to what I am speaking of. We will have to make decisions to obey God rather than men. In everything, the verse 24 does not mean that the wife has to do literally everything her husband tells her to do. If the husband, for example, is following the Lord afar off and has lost out in his walk with God, and he seeks to get his wife to do that which is contrary to godliness, to the Scriptures, the choice is obvious. And the statement of verse 24 is qualified in that the husband, in verse 25, is to be like Christ. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen, will the Lord Jesus Christ ever require the church to do anything that would be detrimental to it? Will he? Will he ever hurt the church, damage the church? Neither will the true husband his wife. The godly husband will never require his wife to do that which is questionable, as you can obey the Lord and obey your husband, so do it. Now the last point is the profitableness of submission. We note that these instructions for the family in Ephesians 5 have the context of mirth, of song, in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. God is the happy being. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 11, the apostle speaks of the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And that word, blessed God, it means the happy God. God is the happy being. He has given us good laws, right statutes. And when they are put into practice in the marriage, our homes will be a little foretaste of heaven on earth. Obedience to God, walking in His ways, is not misery and drudgery. It is delightsome. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. We have a parallel passage to Ephesians 5 in 1 Peter 3 and verses 1 to 6. And there's an emphasis here on the beauty that God sees in the woman that obeys Him. And that the beauty goes beyond the external. It's not the outward adorning. It's not the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold. You will see that in verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now notice verses 5 and 6, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, we are being taken back to the beginning, the old time, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Submission was the mark of the holy woman from old time. And we're being transported right back to Sarah, how she obeyed her husband. This is what the Lord prizes in all of our lives. Obedience to His will. Living by His word. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And you'll see here in 1 Peter 3 that it's most profitable by way of testimony. Verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. The unbelieving husband, this verse is saying, may be won by the godly life of his submissive wife. Oh, it is through the word that souls are saved. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you're not a Christian. The word of God can make you wise unto salvation. The word of God reveals to you Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. We do not pray to a God who cannot save. The Lord can save you by His word and grace. It's through the word that souls are saved. We have been begotten by the word of truth. Nothing is more powerful, men and women, next to the word of God, than a radiant, winsome life. and being in subjection to your unsaved husband, you may win him for the Savior. And the wife who keeps rank, remember the meaning of the words submit and subjection, they have the army connotation. The wife who keeps rank, she will be a testimony before the world. Society tonight is showing itself in its true colors. The godlessness of this end time is manifesting itself. It's becoming more chaotic by the day. But here is a window of opportunity for you who are Christian wives, mothers in Israel, the opportunity to show the power of the gospel by how you live, by how you fulfill your role in the marriage, in the home. Oh, may we all walk in the light of the Word of God and obey the Lord, for the Lord is the good master, and He it is who shows us truly the path of life. We'll bow together in a word of prayer. Our loving eternal Father, we do thank Thee tonight that we have the word of the Lord. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy truth upon our hearts this night. Oh Lord, we thank Thee for the example of that great woman. And we pray that in our congregations there will be great women. Women of faith, women of sobriety, women of modesty, women who keep rank as soldiers in the army of the Lord. And we pray that Thou wilt help us all in this oldest of all institutions. Help us in our marriage bonds to have them sweetened, to have them renewed by the good Word of God. O Lord, work in my heart. Work in every heart in this meeting house. And grant our Father that we will profit greatly and we will be winsome believers, having taken heed thereto according to Thy holy word. So bless Thy truth to us and separate us in Thy fear, and with Thy blessing we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.